This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and welcome to the one talk show in America that helps you make better money moves, the Ray Lucia Program, the show all about your money, your business, and your life. Got a lot on the docket today, Mr. Johnny Dean.
Yes.
Required minimum distribution.
I love that topic. I'm not anywhere near that age, but I love that topic.
Well, let's just say I'm a tad bit closer than you.
My goodness, you are.
I had a great talk with a fellow in Texas yesterday, and I've been cogitating over this for 24 hours now in my sleep. You know, when I get something in my brain,
yeah,
I can't get it out until I get it out totally.
I know. So, you got to purge it.
So I've just been thinking about it, and I don't want to talk about his specific situation, but I did feel that since he asked some really, really good questions, whether or not we should talk a little bit about RMDs today. What do you think about that?
I think so. I saw some of your notes on that, and the guy seemed like a fairly smart individual.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a very, very smart guy, and very well. So we'll talk about that. Also, the Roth IRA and Roth conversions.
Yes.
Is that a smart strategy or not? And yesterday I brought this up, and I never had a chance to talk about it. Why a broker might be a conservative investor's best option. Remember that?
I do remember that, and I said I was going to try to, in my mind, figure out where the connection is there. Because I'm a conservative, let's say I'm a conservative investor, I only like CDs and safe stuff and all that, and that's all I want. What would I want with a broker?
That's the point.
Right.
And I will explain to you why it could be a pretty good idea.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. Oh, also, guess who's in the news today?
I can only guess.
I don't know if it's today, but Susie O.
Oh, we know her.
She's back.
The Suze, as we call her.
Never buy life insurance.
Always buy term. We kind of, that's where our voice came from. That's where that particular, she has kind of a Chicago, you know, wasn't she sort of doing that?
She is from Chicago.
That love bug. Was she the love bug?
Uh-huh.
Hello, love bug.
Yeah.
She used to, she had a radio show, used to follow ours.
Well, don't you remember, do you remember when she broadcasted in the studio like next door to us?
Well, she came out and yeah, I do remember. And
well, first off, they had to line up for her like 16 bottles of Perrier.
I remember that. Remember that?
Non-flavored.
And non-flavored. And I think they had to be room temperature.
And jelly beans.
Was it jelly beans?
I think it was either jelly beans or M&M peanuts or M&Ms or something.
Yeah.
No green ones.
I remember.
I don't know.
I remember and I don't know if she made the demands or her publicist, but there were demands that she met.
She was very nice to us, so I'm not going to talk bad.
She was nice. You and she, I remember, we kind of talked together in a group before her radio show, which she had. Again, this goes back years.
Oh, many years, yeah.
And she was intrigued by some of the stuff that you were saying, and she wound up asking you a whole lot of questions about planning and strategy.
Yeah, there were some tax strategies and stuff that she came in during one of the breaks and said, "I got to call her on hold."
Yes. I wasn't.
You know, she
nothing
to
wrong
her,
with that.
To her credit, and all of the others that have helped people get out of debt and have given basic financial advice, I think it's all good. And I'm not jealous. Yeah, okay, of course I'm jealous
because
she's made a lot of money. But no, I'm not jealous at all of her or Dave Ramsey or any of the people that do this because they do a great public service. If they're helping people get out of debt and put money away for their retirement, that's a great service. Now, would I do it exactly the way they recommend? No, I think I take a more sophisticated approach. Doesn't necessarily mean that mine is better. But I think it is.
No, well, it is. And let's be fair, too, because as you said, the people that you mentioned, they're geared more, I think, toward the, remember in college when you took sort of the basic course, it was for everybody, you know, that needed to just get this out of the way.
Yes.
That was lower division, you know, history 1A, something like that, finance 1A. That's more where they are. I believe, I think I can say this correctly, that you're more what we call the upper division courses, which is when you get into the major. You know what I mean?
Does that explain why they have, like, you know, 5 million followers and I have 3?
Well, no.
And two of them are related to me?
No. The problem was you never got on the Oprah Winfrey show.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's what did it, you see?
I need Oprah.
That
Come
was
on.
The problem. And I think both of them have been on there. I know Susie
has.
Yeah.
No, it was a heck of a deal.
It was a
Just
heck
ask
of a deal.
Dr. Phil what Oprah does for you. Look at him.
Oh, she's launched how many careers?
He's huge.
I know. And the other, Dr. Oz might be another one.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. But every time when I wake up at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and I turn on the television, Dr. Phil is on. He's got some show, and his shows are crazy but compelling.
It's sort of like Jerry Springer-like.
It's Jerry Springer with a Ph.D.
That's what it says. Jerry Springer-light in many ways. There's no chair throwing or anything like that, but there's a lot of that going on.
So anyway, let's...
All right. Whatever.
Let's start with, we're probably going to have to use up more than just this segment, but how you might be able to cut and or avoid required minimum distributions.
Avoid?
Possibly. Sit back, folks. Relax, this is the Ray Revolution. Yeah.
I love it. I thought of a couple ways, but you don't really want either one of them.
Let's talk about it. What do you say? Blues Brothers, is that the Blues Brothers version? I think so.
Yes, it is. This is from the movie. I don't know if this is from the soundtrack, but yeah.
All right, so Ginger Sala wrote about this in Kiplinger just the other day, and it caught my attention because of the conversations we've been having with callers and emailers and so forth. So I thought, well, geez, if we're getting so many questions about this, we ought to talk about it.
Very good idea. How avoid required minimum distributions or lessen the impact?
It says avoid RMDs. I'm not sure that's the right terminology.
See, I don't think it is either. I can think of one way to avoid an RMD is to lose all the money in your IRA.
No, there's another way.
Well, you could die. You could die. Now, you personally avoid. Those are the two that I thought.
Yeah,
right. You could die. You personally avoid it.
Yeah.
And if you have a spouse who's younger than 70 and a half, they don't have to take one.
Well, if your spouse is in her 40s and maybe even 50s, she's not going to worry about required minimum distributions either because she's going to spend all the money.
Well, that's the other
on
part
her
of
next
it too.
Spouse.
They don't have to worry about the minimum.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So one of the ways to, and again, avoid is the wrong terminology, but I've been thinking about this for years. You know, since we are now able to, I shouldn't say now because it's been around for years now, able to roll over your IRA to your new
401k.
Employer's 401k, I got to go in the business of hiring a bunch of 70-year-olds.
Is this where we talked about the Ray Lucia lawn mowing service?
Yeah, but lawn mowing is too physical for those of us that are nearing our 70s.
Yeah, it just doesn't
I don't want to get
anymore.
That physical.
That goes back to when you're in your 40s.
I want a cerebral job or something like that.
Okay.
But one thing you can do, and for individuals that are still perhaps working, and if they're self-employed, it's even worse because you can't do this. You've got to work for
somebody
else.
Yeah.
But if you did go to work, and one of the things that I found in researching this is the IRS hasn't really said how much you have to work or how much you have to earn or how many hours you have to work.
Let's step back and mention what we're talking about, because the deal is when you're age 70 and a half, the year you turn 70 and a half, you have a required minimum distribution out of all your IRAs combined. 401ks, the only exception is the 401k from the company, assuming you're still employed by that company. And if you own as long as you don't own 5% or more of the company.
That's right.
Or you're not related to somebody who does, you do not have a required minimum distribution from that 401k. Your strategy was to take IRAs and whatever other, you know, qualified pre-tax retirement money you have and roll them into your new company's or your current company's 401k, then you have no required minimum distribution until such time as you're retired.
Right, which could work out fairly well for you if you still have a high income and you don't want to exacerbate the income tax bill.
Sure.
Furthermore, and in the situation with this fellow that I was speaking with yesterday, he has a daughter and he obviously is interested in legacy planning, and she doesn't make that much money. So when you think about it, if you could do Roth conversions, that's one of the ways they say to avoid the required minimum distribution, but you know, the toll that you pay by going over the toll bridge is a pretty good income tax bill.
I mean, the reason you want to avoid required minimum distribution is just because you don't want to pay the tax.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's not solving the problem.
Well, it solves the problem long-term on the growth of
that
money.
Well, absolutely it does that, but it means you're going to pay taxes now. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's going to be a very good strategy.
It's a very good strategy if you use up the right marginal brackets. If you make too much money, you could jump from a 24 to a 32% rate fairly quickly. That's 8% more taxes. But I'll tell you the strategy that I like a little bit better.
I think we need to really get into this in the next segment.
Yeah, we will in the next segment.
All right.
Was that a tease? Yeah. The strategy that I really like better?
You were about to. You teased it. Maybe you didn't know it. And so we're going to find out more when we come back, right?
I'm such a tease. At least certain people have told me that.
You're good at it.
Stick around, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Download the Biz Talk Radio app. Available on iOS, Android, and BlackBerry. Biz Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show. Helping you out here live on your radio nationwide and coast to coast. Johnny Dean, my co-host.
Yes, talking about one of my, I got a lot of favorite topics. Required minimum distribution, just for me, one of those. Because, you know, I'm like you, Ray. I'm a strategy guy. And I love it when you can work strategy, when there's a puzzle to be solved with required minimum distributions. And there oftentimes is.
So we were just talking about one of those strategies is go get a job. You know, get a job. With another company that has a 401k plan, if you work for that company, and again, the IRS has not defined what work means. I'm sure you got to have gainful employment, but if you do work for that company, you can roll over your 401k plan, or excuse me, your IRA plan into the new 401k plan, and not have to take a required minimum distribution until you sever service. That can save a lot of money, especially if there's little tax arbitrage. You're still working. You've got other income, you're selling your business, or you've done some big Roth conversions in the past, or whatever the case may be, you may be able to delay taking required minimum distribution. It still doesn't mean that you couldn't do Roth conversions along the way.
Because there are no income limits, there's no, you just have to, you don't even have to have an income to do Roth conversions, so that's not an issue.
No, but I'll tell you what one of the benefits is because you're not going to have much of an income, you're not going to have to come out of pocket, you know, too much on the tax bill because your taxes will be lower. If you go to work for, you know, a company that pays a grand or $1,500 a month, you know, even if you're collecting Social Security, it's not going to, if you're married, it's not going to put you in a high income tax bracket to take your income from the new job plus do some conversions. What would be a problem is if you have $1 million a Roth IRA, or a regular IRA, the required minimum distribution is going to be about $40,000 the first year and increasing on top of your other income.
Yeah, it is. And so if you have a lot of other income and you're taking Social Security, which many people are, certainly at required minimum distribution age, you are taking it unless you don't have it for some reason. It could subject your Social Security to taxation. In fact, it probably will. Additional taxation, $1.85 for every dollar of Social Security that you take. I mean, there are all kinds of problems with that.
All right, let's talk about a couple of others. We'll get off that topic and move on to carve-outs. You know what a carve-out is?
Wasn't that an ice cream store? Carvel.
And then there's Carver's, the steakhouse down the street, which is darn good. Their steak and lobster there is fantastic.
I'm not a lobster guy, but I've had their steak. It's
well, let's we go double Dutch. You could have the steak and I'll have the lobster.
Double Dutch. So we're each paying. It means I got to pay for mine?
Well, yeah.
I've never been to a restaurant with you where you have let me pay. Maybe once.
No, I don't think so. Just kidding.
I think maybe you did once, and it was like 20 years ago.
Feeling sorry for you or something?
No, I think I finally just...
Well, this, you know, the difference is you grew up in the radio business.
Yes, and
I grew
that's up where financial. It came from. See, that was it.
Well, I always bought, because anytime I took a client out to lunch or dinner, I'm always paying. So the first thing I do is reach my credit card. I remember we had a tennis club years ago. Yeah. I never tell you those stories. So like a dozen of us would go out to eat. And when the bill came, all these people would like
get
slowly
up and
go to the bathroom.
Yes,
so my my buddy Herbie and me, we would always be the ones. He had his own business too. Always the one either picking up the tab or picking up the tip or picking up most of the tab. And people would throw in, you know, they'd buy $25 worth of food and throw in 10.
Of course, yeah.
Cheese balls.
Yeah, that didn't even cover the tip, you moron. Well, you knew that me back in the day, that if the bill came to me, I would have gladly paid, but I didn't have it. I didn't think I have enough money in the bank to pay for it.
No, you were a quality guy. Plus, you're my very first producer, and we've got stories.
We've got stories. Over the coming months, we will regale people with
it. Okay, carve out a qualified longevity annuity contract. Think about this for a minute.
All right.
You're 70 years old. You got a bunch of money in a retirement account, an IRA rollover. And one of the things that we know is if you live long enough, you're going to be taxing the amount of earnings that you can get in your portfolio. Because remember, this sequence of returns risk. So one of the ways to avoid that is to carve out, you can carve out 25% up to $130,000 of your IRA and put it into a QLAC. The QLAC at 70 might pay you an income starting at age 85. Mm-hmm. You could take $130,000 out of your IRA, put it into a QLAC, therefore no required minimum distribution on that $130,000. I mean, that's the equivalent of saving $5,000 or so in an RMD, right?
What is it on $130,000 at age 70?
4% or so, right?
Times four, $6,000? $6,500? I don't know. No, it's not that much.
$5,000. Numbers guy.
So
anyway, you could do the QLAC. Now, some people may say, yes, but if I die early, exactly. If you die early, it's not going to be a good deal. But because of the deferral, the amount of income that it generates starting at age 85 could be quite substantial. I mean, instead of getting, you know, $400 or $500 a month, you might get $1,500 a month.
At age 85.
At age 85. So you want to talk to your financial advisor about a QLAC. It's a way to reduce your required minimum distributions while at the same time potentially enhance your later in life income.
Are you a fan of those at all? I'm not a big fan, but in certain instances,
I think they can make a lot of sense. Where a person has a large,
like you just said,
IRA, and they have longevity in their family history. Remember, if you don't have longevity, then buying a longevity annuity doesn't make any sense in the first place, right?
No, of course not.
But for example, one of the guys that I talked to yesterday, I think he's 70 or 72, something like that. And he thinks he's going to make it to 100. He's in really good health, and he's got good family history and all that stuff. So I think in a case like that, it can make a lot of sense.
Now, if you don't make it, I mean, you don't care anymore because you're gone, but let's say you die at 85, 86, 87, something like that. Somebody is going to inherit that QLAC. They're inheriting an annuity, correct?
Depends. Probably not. Most of the QLACs that are going to give you the biggest bang for your buck, it's an all-or-nothing deal. I mean, you're not going to get a full refund of your money. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah,
I mean, you're making a bet that you're going to outlive the life expectancy of the insurance company. And if you live long enough, it becomes a really good investment. If you die on schedule, it's probably not such a red hot investment. So it's for those individuals. And you know, I've talked about this many times before. There are ways to game the system, folks. And for individuals that are healthier, wealthier, married, etc., they do tend to live longer. Mm-hmm. And those are the individuals that would benefit from any kind of an annuity, but certainly a QLAC, and that can help you with the required minimum distributions as well.
Yeah, the thing about the QLAC, of course, is that you start getting payments at 85. So if you die at 85, 86, 87, probably not worth it. You really kind of have to make the bet that you're going to live 95 or
92,
beyond.
93 probably.
But if you make
it to 85, your chances of making it to 95 are actually pretty good.
That's true. Those that make it to 65 have a much larger chance of making it to 85, and those that live to 85 have actually a much larger chance of making it to 100.
And the other thing you can do before we go to the break is marry a 35-year-old.
Well, we could explain why.
When we come back. You don't know why? You're 72?
I'm coming from the financial point of view,
okay.
Ray.
We'll
stick
be back.
With the money.
Don't go away, folks. It's the Ray Program.
I just can't.
Send us your feedback by emailing info@biztalkradio.com, or you can send us comments via the BizTalk Radio app.
All right, we're back in action here on the Ray Lucia Program. Thanks for tuning in. We're talking about required minimum distributions this hour of Money Power. Didn't realize we'd, you know, spend so much time on it, but it is a complex situation. And I was referring earlier to an article in Kiplinger, not well worded, how you can cut or avoid required minimum distributions.
Now, was there, I don't know that I got their answer. Was it the qualified longevity annuity contract you're talking about?
Multiple. The work and roll, they call it. You know, that's where you...
We're rolled into your current employers.
Into your new work employers. But that's not avoiding. That's just delay.
It's delaying. Yes, it is.
So I think the better terminology would have been delay.
Right.
Because there's not an easy way to
avoid. Well, I thought of two. One was lose all the money in your IRA 401k. Bad option. Die was the other one. You could, if you're into charities, you could, you know, give your RMD to the charity if you're going to do it anyway. Then you don't technically, you can take care of your RMD without having to worry about paying taxes
on it. That is, so that is one way. I didn't get to that one.
Qualified charitable distribution.
We talked earlier about, you know, marrying or if you have a younger spouse. And obviously, if you're 70 and a half or 71 or 72 or 73, your life expectancy is shorter than the joint life expectancy mm-hmm. of you and your younger spouse, right? So you can blend, I think it's Pub 590B, Table 2.
Table 2, if memory serves.
Yeah, so just check it out. But if you marry a 35-year-old, you could probably reduce that required minimum distribution a lot, but you're going to need every penny out of your IRA.
Yes. In fact, there's a second table for required minimum distributions. Most people have this one that they use, but if your spouse, I think, is 11 years or older or more, younger than you,
there's a
separate table.
And, a setback,
and
right.
so, yes, if you're 70, 70 and a half, whatever it is, in required minimum distribution age, and the younger your spouse is, the less you're going to have to take. Again, that doesn't avoid it. It lessens the required.
If you want to avoid it for a small amount of money, I do have an idea that I just thought of here off the top of my head.
You're saying for a small amount of money, I got to pay you $5 for you to say it?
But unfortunately, you'd have to do it before you're 65.
So it's
you
got
to get rid of some money before you're 65 because you can fund your HSA with an IRA rollover, right?
You could fund the entire thing.
Yeah, the entire thing.
That is true. Health savings accounts. We don't talk a lot about those.
No, we can talk about them next hour. But moving right along, obviously the younger spouse is something, but don't get married just for the sake of doing it.
And don't think that a qualified charitable distribution is going to get you out of, I mean, yes, you will avoid the required minimum distribution. Yes, you'll avoid the tax, but you're also giving the entire sum to the charity. So if you weren't going to give it to the charity anyway.
Yeah, that would be a
It's a foolish thing. I'm trying to save $2,000 in taxes, so I give $10,000 away.
The other thing that we should talk about is making the most out of your required minimum distribution. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Most people believe that you've just got to, you know, take cash out, sell your stock or whatever.
Oh, please.
Take advantage of the market. You know, if you've got a stock portfolio or a mutual fund portfolio, maybe put some money into emerging markets or international. And while there's nothing wrong with that, not all boats rise with the tide, so to speak, right? So you may have a stock that's down that you still really like. You may have a mutual fund in an area that's down that you really like. So you could transfer that in kind, and by doing so, that could satisfy, if you will, your required minimum distribution. And the upshot is, once you transferred something that's down in price, you pay the tax on the value as of the time of transfer. Therefore, if you now own that stock that's down, when and if, I have to say, but usually stocks go up, and that appreciation from that point forward would be taxed at a much lower rate.
Think about it. You own something for 10 bucks a share. It's now worth 5 bucks a share for whatever reason. You're required to pay taxes on that. You still like the stock. You still like the company. It's worth 5 bucks a share instead of 10. Well, you got to take a required minimum distribution, take that stock out of the IRA, pay taxes on that $5 worth of value, but don't sell it. Keep it. As you said, you now own it personally. Let it grow in your personal account, assuming it's, again, you have to like the company. You think about why you bought it. Allow it to grow personally. I mean, much better to do it that way. We saw that in, I've said this before, 2009, I think it was, when everything was down. Congress in 09 or 10 gave them a 1 or 2 year moratorium on required minimum distributions.
It's foolish.
And oddly enough, of course it was foolish. Oddly enough, that would have been a great time to take a required minimum distribution in kind, the way you just described.
Let me give you one other thought here.
Please.
For those that are charitably inclined.
Ah.
Many times you've got money that you can take directly from your IRA, as you said, $100,000 to mm-hmm. your favorite charity. But what if you have appreciated real estate? In other words, you've owned a house, say.
In your IRA?
They own it personally. Oh. And it's the mortgage is paid off, it's free and clear, you've totally depreciated it down, and if you sell it, there's going to be a big tax bill. What if you took that property and gifted it to a charitable remainder trust?
We haven't talked about those for a while.
Now, let's just make up some numbers, all right? Because there are some technical rules I don't want to have to get into. But let's say the house is worth $300,000. You owe nothing on it.
It's a rental home. I own it free and clear. It's worth $300,000. If I pay it, I've got to pay capital gains tax.
Right,
sell it,
and recapture depreciation
gains.
And all that
all
stuff.
All that stuff.
Could be quite taxing. So you take this $300,000 valued property and you gift it to a charitable remainder uni trust. And that $300,000, you would get some kind of a write-off on. I'm going to make up a number here. And a lot of it depends on your age and how much the property is worth and so forth.
Your mileage may vary.
But let's say that you got a $100,000 deduction. And you can write off 30% of your adjusted gross income. You can carry forward for 5 years. So sooner or later, you're going to get all $100,000 of deductions. That $100,000 of deduction can offset required minimum the tax on required minimum distributions. So there's another way to help a charity and help yourself all at the same time.
Yeah. And we don't talk, as I said, a lot about these charitable remainder trusts or uni trusts, CRUTs, or whatever you want to call them. But you can also, you know, direct the charity event. You haven't lost the money that you put into that or the home that you put into that. I mean, there are ways to take an income off
of
that, too.
Well, you would. And the income, how much income you take is going to determine how much of a tax deduction you get.
Right.
In part. But let's just say you get a 6% income. So in this case, mm-hmm. you'd take $300,000. The trust would theoretically get the house, sell it, mm-hmm. then reinvest the money and send you a check for $18,000 a year. And in theory, actuarially speaking, there's going to need to be a certain percentage left in the trust
for the charity.
But you work that out with your legal team and your tax team and all that.
But the point was to create a deduction to offset the taxes that you pay on your...
And once again, if you live long enough, it could be a pretty good deal. And you can be the trustee of the trust if you want, which means you get to still invest your own money.
It's an interesting quirk that they allow that because it's in some ways it's like self-dealing. It's not. They don't consider it to be that.
Well, you have to be very, very careful in how this is structured, okay? You've got to be very careful as to how you invest the money. You don't want to lose a whole bunch of money because uh-huh. they can come back and say you squandered your trust money. You have to act as a fiduciary for the trust, and they can go back and retroactively charge you all the taxes.
Oh, of course.
So there's danger in them if you screw around with it. But if you're conservative, mm-hmm. it can work very, very well. It takes care of the charity. It takes care of you and an income stream. you took an asset that maybe required a lot of property management, or who knows what, maybe you got some raw land that's producing no income. So there's lots of different things that you can do.
There'd be a lot of reasons to do that. I mean, obviously you're over 70 and a half. Maybe you're just tired of it. You don't want to deal with it anymore. If you sell, we only got a minute, but if you sell the property personally, you mentioned something just very quickly. You mentioned that you're going to have to pay, if it's a rental property, it's always been a rental property, has never lived in it. You're going to pay capital gains tax long-term, presumably, on this property, this appreciated property. But you said you also have to recapture depreciation. Now, for somebody who is not well-versed in rental or anything like that, that can come as a surprise to some people.
Well, yeah, and the tax rate on recapture is higher than the capital gains rate. So it's like 25% or whatever it is.
Right.
It's
so
22% now.
You got to have the cash to do that if you're going to sell the property.
So while we can't avoid required minimum distributions, we can certainly delay and utilize some other strategies. This is what best practices is all about. That's why I wrote the booklet.
Yes. Oh, we'll talk more about that too.
Okay, we'll be back. Stick around, folks. It's the Ray Lucia Show.
This is what Flow from Bullish Market. Keep listening to Biz Talk Radio online at biztalkradio.com.
When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy.
Very slick song, that's all I can say. Welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show. Like
you posted
I posted that, baby.
I don't know if you meant to, but you darn well did. I love this song.
And the innuendo. Did you like the innuendo, too?
What, on the song?
Yes.
What was it?
Never mind.
Oh, okay.
You would have known.
Oh, are you talking? I didn't know if you were kidding or if you were making an innuendo joke.
I was making an innuendo joke.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Sorry
all right,
about that,
all right. Yeah. That's all right. But I love that song.
I do, too. Welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show. That's Johnny Dean. Happens to love Gracie.
I mean, this is not slick.
Slick.
Yes. That's not a song you would think that I would like because it's kind of angry and driving. But, man, it's a good song.
It's a great, great song. And I even like White Rabbit.
Yeah, that's good. But I think that one is actually better because it starts intense and it ends even more intensely. And anyway.
White Rabbit feeds your head.
Feed your head. Actually, it's very similar. It's very similar in nature. Okay, so really quickly, you mentioned, I'll just throw this out again. You mentioned a booklet, this e-booklet, which I think will be ready by the end of the week. Don't hold me to that.
It's all up to you, buddy,
because
you're
it's
the one
in compliance.
You're doing it.
They're making sure all the proper disclosures are in there. And all that. But anyway, we are working through it. It should be in e-booklet form, I hope, by the end of the week.
All right. So those that have emailed, maybe there are a lot of you, we will get it to you. And I'm not charging right now, but that will be a 4-charge booklet when you get done with it and I pretty it up
so,
a little.
So get it while it's free and ugly? Is
it's
what you're
free
saying?
And ugly right
it's
now.
It's just text.
It is just text.
It's just text. It's so just a booklet.
We haven't made it look pretty and all that stuff because it's content. And I blabbered about it on the air, and so now I got to make good.
Well, you do. So we've got people asking about it, so we'll get back to you. So there's that. Also, we got some emails. Now, do you want to do these here?
Yeah, so let's do them. Hit it, fellas.
You've got me.
We were discussing required minimum distributions for the better part of this hour.
Right.
We have been.
And one of the reasons is I'm getting a lot of emails on them. In fact, I got one
it was on. In fact, it's not even
but
on
this
my...
one. This one, no, the one you have there, I think came in yesterday.
Oh, this was yesterday's. Okay, all right.
Yeah, but I got one during the show, but it's so long we can't really do it.
Well, we can't do it on the air. You will still do it.
Oh,
you
sure.
will still
yeah,
take
yeah,
care
I
of
answer
it.
All
I don't know the name of the person, but okay. So here's one from Aram. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Who is asking this question? Ray, does a Roth conversion satisfy the IRS requirement for a required minimum distribution at age 70 and older? For example, if my RMD amount is $10,000 the year I turn 70 and a half, and I convert $10,000 from my traditional IRA to my Roth, does that conversion satisfy the required minimum distribution for that tax year? Thanks and regards. You can answer this with one very short word.
A two-letter word.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
No, it doesn't work, Aram. You still have to take a required minimum distribution. What you just did, however, is reduce your future required minimum distributions. But a Roth conversion does not offset the actual required minimum distribution for the year. So just to review, for this year, if you turned age 70 and a half, say, this year, okay, to make it simple. I don't want to get complicated people that have delayed them. So you turn age 70 and a half this year. You have a required minimum distribution. The way you calculate that is you go back to 1231 of last year, and you take all of your traditional non-Roth IRAs, and you get their year-end values. And then you apply the formula to that. The formula works out to about 3.67%. So if you had $100,000 in all traditional IRAs last year, 1231, you'd have to take about $3,670 out. Okay, that's the number. Round up to 4% to make it simple.
Do that, because if you're 70 and a half early in the year and you turn 71 this year, there is a little higher RMD.
That's
because
correct.
You have to use the age 71 tables. Not a big deal.
Yeah. So that's how you now, calculate it.
Yeah. So that's what you do. Now, if RM had done a $10,000 Roth conversion, $10,000 would have left his IRA. True. However, what he's going to be tagged with, if he doesn't take the actual $10,000 out and not put it in the Roth, is he going to wind up with excess contribution to a Roth IRA. If he's working, he would be okay for $7,000 of it.
Right.
But then he's going to have a penalty for $3,000
excess
contribution.
Yeah, there's going to be a penalty of 50%.
Yes. So he's got to watch out. In the year you turn 70, or any year that you're required minimum distribution age, the very first money, any money that comes out, is first going to that required minimum distribution. Doesn't matter. You're not allowed to convert RMD money to a Roth.
That is correct. Now, there's lots of things that you can do in advance of this. Is when we've been talking all day about other strategies and so forth. But you're just going to be limited. You've got to take a required minimum distribution in the year you turn age 70 and a half. Now, you brought this up, so I got to cover it. You can postpone your first required minimum distribution until April 1 of the following year.
Okay? Yes.
So for those that have postponed, you've got a deadline coming up.
You do. It has to be your first required minimum distribution. All right? Got to be your first one. And if you forgot, this is a good thing to do, depending on when this show is airing. If you forgot last year, you didn't know about it, you got a little bit of time.
You got a little bit
still
of time.
Still do it.
But remember, you've got to take your this year's distribution as well. So you've got two that you got to contend with. And as you brought up, this year is going to be based on the next oldest year table.
Correct. So just different things that you got to do. Be safe. Just take a little bit more out than the RMD than you think you have to.
Folks, if you're in that ballpark, like 70, 70 and a half, 71, 72, and you want to talk about this stuff, please send me an email. I've got three or four of them I'm behind on right now because I just got them in. Mm-hmm. But I will get back to you. And I just now responded to one that came in at 3 o'clock this morning. I don't know where they were listening to me at 3 o'clock, but they must have been listening.
We're everywhere.
But the fact is, and the email was so long, I can't do it right now, because if you read it, it would take the entire segment.
Yeah, all right. That's
so
fine.
Can we get to a different one?
Well, no, because we got like 45 seconds.
Oh, that's it?
I'm the clock watcher here for you.
You are the clock watcher amongst
many
other things.
I'm the clock watcher. Wasn't that a song by the...
Yeah, it was close enough.
The Occasions, I think. Yeah, good enough.
So knock three times and
please. We had such good music this hour, and did you have to blow it with a Tony Orlando and Dawn song?
I did talk during the break about Just One Look.
Doris Troy, great song. And maybe Linda Ronstadt may have covered it.
Folks, we are out of time. Please email me. Go to raylucia.com, RAYLUCIA.com. I will get back to you personally. In the meantime, go out and make it a very, very blessed day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home.